Yeah. Slow on my kids, count cake. We done made it from the apartments to the house to the lake.
God is all of my plans, that's the water. God is all of my
plans. Slow on my kids, count cake. We done made it from the apartments to the house to the lake.
Welcome back to Talk That Talk. I'm your host, Tarai Bionic Brooks. We cover all things from sports to lifestyle, entertainment, and culture. I'm with my co-host, Ty McKinney.
Yes, sir.
At That Fly Guy Ty, or Coach Ty, whatever you prefer. Today, we're going to be diving into a wide range of different topics, from basketball to culture to like what's been happening, what's been going on lately. I mean, we had a crazy weekend, had a pretty good weekend this weekend. My birthday just passed, you know what I mean? So I got a chance to kick it with the homies, watch some good flicks and stuff like that. So we're going to dive into a little bit of all that. But first and foremost, man, how's it going, Ty? What's been going on, bro? What's new with you?
Man, I've been vibing, man. Blessed and highly favored. A lot of new things and new projects on the horizons coming out. Excited to work on them, excited to be a part of them. So yeah, just pretty much been diving into that, man. Hanging with the guy, man. Blessed to be around, good company. Celebrating your birthday, happy birthday again. It was definitely a good time, you know. Got to kick it with the guys, share some good stories, share some good laughs, some good moments, make some memories. What's been going on with you, man?
Happy to be here. Happy to see another year, another trip around the sun. I'm a June baby, Gemini, you know what I mean? Don't drop no crazy stuff about horoscopes or anything like that in the comments, man. But I'm proud to be a Gemini. June 14th, Flag Day. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much weight that holds for some of y'all. It's just a way that, you know, my birthday is recognized. I definitely appreciate that. My birthday to be on a quote unquote holiday,
yeah.
But because it's really a holiday.
I hear that.
A holiday. But man, like I just been happy to be around good people, good energy. Y'all seen Troy Mann, one of the homies that's been featured on the podcast recently. He pulled up on us. We were able to sit down and talk music. You know, just kick it, have a good time. Dom also pulled up. Y'all seen Dom on the podcast too. I was able to really dive in a little bit more with Dom as far as like music, cadence, flow, some things that I want to work on, you know, for my own music career. But we saw Bad Boys.
Yes,
I don't want to ruin it for too many of y'all out there. But I went to see Bad Boys. What is it, four now at this point?
Yes.
This past weekend, I really liked the movie. I enjoyed the movie. I think they did a phenomenal job with the movie. A lot of the shots had Westbrook written all over it. Like, man, like they were so innovative with a lot of the shots that were taken, but it also still had that same Bad Boy for Life type of vibe, feel, the way it was shot, the dynamic between the characters. I mean, they did a couple of things in there that, like, really caught me by surprise. They switched a couple of cast members out and stuff like that. I didn't think people were going to notice, but I'll let y'all see that for yourself.
I don't think it was too abrupt. They did it in a way where it flowed with what was going on.
Yes, but no.
He said yes, but no.
Yes,
but it was noticeable. No, it was noticeable.
They pulled the Fresh Prince Bel Air,
man. Okay, yeah.
They pulled the Fresh Prince, bro. Come on, bro.
It was totally
like,
noticeable.
Come on, bro.
It wasn't like you were like, I mean, but I don't know yet.
When they did All Viv and Fresh Prince, you know what I'm saying? Something like that, I feel like that went on, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, if you're a connoisseur of Bad Boys, if you're a movie watcher, then it's not going to get past you. But I guess if you're your average viewer, consumer, it might get past them a little bit.
Okay, so out of 10, if you was a Rotten Tomato dude, I think that what's their score? What's their ranking on Rotten Tomatoes? Is it out of 5?
I think it's 10.
It's 10.
Okay, so if you were a film critic, what would you give that film?
Man, for that point there, and me being a connoisseur, I'm gonna have to give it like a 9.8.
Wow, that's high.
It was a really good movie.
For
for number 4 in a series, for it to still have that feel that you got from the original, that speaks volumes.
I feel it. I mean, you know, I'm a little bit tougher. I'd probably give it a 8.5 or 8.6. I feel like it was a really good movie. There had a lot of different elements, the action, the story, it flowed. I just think that there are parts to kind of like where it dipped. But also, you know, like, I feel like Martin Lawrence, man. Like, I feel like his role in that, you know, in the series is a lot bigger, and it's getting to that point to where now we're seeing him in a different light.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he can do the same things that he once did to be that duo. Yeah. So you just kind of felt that dynamic a little
shifting.
Off, personally, yeah. For
yeah,
me.
No facts.
But I love the movie. I want to give it nothing but great things. I have nothing but great things to say about it. It's great to see some of the character development on all different fronts. Even with that being said, with Martin Lawrence, his character development, how they integrated that, how they showed that a little bit was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, switching gears a little bit, man. Although, you know, I love a good movie. I definitely want to see what type of movies come out this summer. We will be, you know, tapping in, you know, giving some movie reviews and talking about that for the culture. But, you know, I mean, like, what did you think about the NBA Finals? I mean, it's the summer. The Finals kind of, for me personally, were a little lackluster. I felt like it could have been a little bit more competitive. The guys, you know, they really came out and played. And the Celtics are a good team, but, like, they ain't that good, especially without Kristaps Porzingis.
Right.
But seeing how, you know, Dallas responded and, you know, how they played and fought all the way to the end is definitely a bright spot. But, I mean, from a viewer perspective, I want to see something way more competitive in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I was totally underwhelmed with the NBA Finals. I thought the playoffs were much more exciting to watch. I mean, I was dialed in. I was engaged in everything that was going on during the playoffs. And then, you know, as we kind of neared those finals and even as Boston was playing Indiana, it started to kind of taper off there with the playoffs and into the finals. The hype, the excitement, all of that kind of just started to die down. And, I mean, we had our excitement for the matchups. You know, we wanted to see Kyrie and Luka go at it with Tatum and Brown in the cast. So, you know, there was some excitement there, but I think a lot of it started to taper off.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, you make a great point, especially in the Eastern Conference, with all the injuries and everything that kind of happened and went on. It was tough to kind of see, like, how it played out and then also see, like, the hype and the fanfare around it kind of, you know, subside a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, with a fan base like Boston guy, I think that they really carried that with the injuries that the New York Knicks dealt with. You know, I mean, that kind of sucked because their fan base was really engaged. I was tapped in. I love the New York Knicks.
I was pulling Knicks. For the Knicks, too.
But, you know, like, that goes into, like, my next point. Like, is basketball about marketability, or is it just about competition? And the reason why I brought that up is because we got the Olympics coming up, man. We got a lot of talks on who should be on the Olympic team, who shouldn't be on the Olympic team, from the men's perspective and the women's perspective. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna make the focus right now on the women's side. Who do you feel like should have made the WNBA, or not WNBA, who do y'all think should have made the USA Women's Olympic basketball team?
Man, so I'm personally not too familiar with those being selected, but I do know that there's some names being thrown around and that are in the headlines and things like that. As far as who I think should be selected, I don't have a personal preference or, again, a person because I haven't been watching too much, but you know, there's a lot of great athletes doing their thing right now that definitely deserve to be recognized and definitely deserve to be in that position.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the rookies right now, they're shining, they're doing their thing. You know, their consideration is warranted as well.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you there. I feel like, you know, some consideration that should be there for some of the younger players in the league. But at the same time, I think that the players that were selected got good chemistry together. They played together for a while. They got the experience. And going into a Olympic year to where I think they can win, like, what, either 7 or 8 gold medals. Like, this can be their 7th or 8th gold medal in a row. So I feel like that's a huge goal for them going into this year. Do you think Caitlin Clark being left off the Olympic team is a good or a bad thing? Personally, for me, when I'm looking at, like, the Olympic team and the makeup of that team right now for the women's side, I think they have a really good team. I don't think that Caitlin Clark being left off that team doesn't mean that she's not a good player or anything like that. I just, you know, as a point to kind of like I emphasized earlier, the chemistry, the camaraderie, those players being familiar with one another, you know what I mean? Like, and also kind of like the just the natural flow of like how professional sports go. A lot of these women have been preparing and training for the Olympics. They're preparing and training for the WNBA season. And, you know, Caitlin Clark just came off of a NCAA season, a deep run. You know what I mean? Now she's playing. She got the team on her back right now. So, just kind of like let her get her feet settled in to understand from a training perspective. That's kind of like where I'm coming from. Like, you know, a training perspective, you got to be able to have your peaks at the right moment and your dips at the right moment so that you're well prepared, you know, to be able to compete at the highest level. So your micro and your macro cycles as far as your training performance regimen and stuff like that has to be specifically tailored to going to the Olympic Games, competing at the highest level there and stuff like that. And I don't think that Caitlin's been training like that with that in mind. So I think that is kind of safe for the women's U.S. Olympic team to kind of give her a break.
Yeah.
Give her an opportunity to see kind of like the flow and the dynamic of the WNBA season, how those women go on and play in the Olympics, and then, you know, from there, get her in the USA basketball system.
Yeah, she'll get a front row seat this year.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So I don't think that that's like a slight to her, but somebody that I feel like could have made that team and should be talked about more. But unfortunately, they pulled themselves out of the pool of players. Is Arike Ogunwale. Might have said her name wrong.
But no, I actually think you said it right.
Yeah, I love Arike. Definitely feel like she's got one of the most exciting games in the W right now. She's an offensive force. She's shifty. She can finish around the rim. She can shoot that thing. And she plays with a tremendous fire underneath her. That's a person that I feel like, when you talk about politics and you talk about like the politics of, you know, USA basketball, that's a person that I feel like was slighted in that way for her not to get that consideration. If we're talking politics on the other end, Caitlin Clark could have added something to that from a marketability standpoint. I feel like she can really help grow the game. And I feel like that should have taken a little bit more priority from Team USA. As far as
worldwide now,
as far as like who's gonna help them kind of like push the game forward, and we've seen in the past, USA Basketball has put highly touted college basketball players after their college basketball season on the Olympic team. So I think that that's always a great opportunity for them to learn and be able to, you know, expand themselves in their mind in the game so that they can be able to contribute overseas and international stuff like that. But I've seen a lot of talks, you know what I mean, on TV, the media, online social media and stuff like that. And, you know, a lot of people want the narrative to be like Caitlin Clark should have been on that team, or some people, especially like some of the women compete in or like that are very close to the women in the W, are like, nah, Caitlin Clark shouldn't have been there. Personally, for me, I think that there was an opportunity that was missed by USA Basketball by putting her on that team and helping her learn and grow with those grow with those icons. Right now, I feel like there's so much division between like the older generation and the younger generation, especially in the W, to where I feel like they need to bridge that gap a little bit better. Because like, I wouldn't say that people are jealous of Caitlin Clark, but there is a little bit of animosity because she is a young player coming in and getting all the headlines. And like, even now we're talking about her. But I think that they're, what would help those headlines kind of subside is there not being as much animosity about the subject. Address the subject, talk about things, but also, you know, push your narrative to the forefront while you're discussing these things. Yes. And I think that they're missing it by not wanting to discuss it, not talk about it, not talk about it thoroughly. And one thing that really comes to my mind, you know, I'm going to shift gears a little bit. My bad, Ty.
You're all good.
But I saw Charlamagne Tha God interviewing Tyler on his pod or on his radio station the other day. And he asked her a question, which I felt like was a simple question. But in the past, she has come out and said, I'm not black, I'm colored. So Charlamagne Tha God asked Tyler, what's the difference between being black and colored? And I see on camera, she's looking back to her publicist, her PR team, And this is live recorded. Dang. You know what I mean? Like, and you hear a voice from off camera talk about, oh, no, we're going to stay away from that subject. We're not going to talk about that. Please keep it in the confines of this. And that right there is like how you miss an opportunity to be able to set the record straight. And that's where I feel like you lose people. You lose some fans. You know what I mean? By not even just speaking your piece on it.
Because we're with you, but we don't understand what you're talking about.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I ain't gonna lie. Like, Tyler, you missing me. You losing me because, like, you have a platform to be able to educate people. Damn. I'm not gonna have you on there trying to say, oh, I identify as black or this or that. I'm not really caught up in that. Where I'm caught up is, like, you have the platform to be able to educate people. Mm-hmm. And if you're not educated on it, educate yourself before you're making comments like, I'm not black, I'm colored.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, and really try to do more work to be able to come out and talk about that.
Yeah.
But I feel like she ducking the smoke.
Yeah.
So I feel like the same way with the WNBA and the, you know, the conversations around Caitlin Clark, they're ducking the smoke.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Go ahead, talk about it. Don't duck the smoke in your interview and then go on Twitter talking about
what else
is she doing to the game other than 3 points.
When you said you wasn't going to talk about it.
Yeah, so... What are your thoughts on that, though? What you think?
Man, the politics of the game, man, we all know how gruesome it can be, how crazy it can be. And I think in the position that the WNBA is in right now, is, you know, it's very heightened. It's very seen, and there's a lot of things going on in the space of talk, right? He say, she say, the narratives being spun. You know, you have journalists saying this and that. I think it's just a very... touchy place for the WNBA right now with, you know, new emerging talent and a lot more eyes on you and a lot more things and opportunities to be had now. I think, like you said, there's gaps that need to be bridged between the old way of doing it and what has worked for so long and what, you know, that group of people that have been fighting for so long to get what is now here. But yeah, that gap, the bridge needs to be gapped between the two so that everyone can take advantage of it, not just one group that's coming in or whoever is going to come in from now on. You know, those people that have been there, they want to take advantage of it as well. And then, again, I think all of that just ties into kind of what we're seeing with the Olympic selections, with, you know, certain players, you know, saying, hey, no, I'm cool. I'm out of the running for, you know, whatever reason and things like that. It's a very touchy time for the WNBA and what's going on and the shifts that we're seeing happen in the WNBA.
Yeah, I think that that's interesting. As we touch on these topics and stuff like that, it really hits home for me because it reminds me of situations that we're experiencing. Yes, in the WNBA. Yes, in the NBA, we've seen guys withdraw their name from the draft because of certain conversations being kind of pushed to the forefront. They not feeling like they're going to get the notoriety that they deserve or be able to, you know, play their game at the high level or get selected to the team that ultimately might be a good fit for them because there's all of these talks about, you know, other guys who might not be in the same position or as developed as them coming into the league because of their connections and, you know, getting drafted, shooting up draft boards. And, you know, there's really no rhyme or reason why all this stuff is happening other than kind of like what we were saying, like just the politics, you know what I mean? Politics play a big role in a lot of the things that we do. And if you don't get that, if you're not willing to play by those rules, you need to wake up because you gotta pay to play.
It's inevitable.
You got to pay to play. And then, you know what I mean? Like, all these things kind of remind me of, like, if my ancestors or our ancestors were here around right now and they see all the things that I'm doing. I'm, you know, I got a podcast. I'm, in, you know, working in media. I'm working on television. I'm on television. I'm an athlete. Them looking at me and being upset with me and being resentful, you know, because of all the strife and the struggle that they had. Mm-hmm. And that now I'm able to take advantage of because of them laying the foundation and the framework for me to be able to come in and take what's mine or take what's been owed to us or our culture or our community for so long. And that's where you see the bitter, you know, bitter generation. Yeah. You see, you know, some people like that. But then you also do have people who are like, hey, nephew, let me put you on game. Let me help you understand that, like, why these opportunities are possible. Let me help you expand your mind on how you can make more of it for everybody that's coming after you too. And, you know, that's where I feel like the approach needs to be in the NBA, in the W, you know what I'm saying? Even in real life. You know what I mean? People who may have not had the opportunities, even me in the social media space. There's things that people are doing in social media right now that I couldn't have dreamt to do. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? I couldn't come out here and just be all willy-nilly and doing whatever came to mind, however I wanted to. You know what I mean? I had to code switch. A lot of times I had to wear a mask and, you know, being able to navigate in different spaces and stuff like that. So, you know, now it's guys are doing whatever.
Yeah. Yeah,
guys are doing whatever on social media, blowing up, getting big, rapping, you know, same type of thing. Like, in every single industry, we're going to experience that.
Yeah.
But we need, you know, good figures and people with their head on straight being able to give game to the younger generation and helping them understand how to navigate without hating.
Yes, yes, yes. Spit the game. I mean, we were talking about it, I think, a couple of days ago. You know, you can't truly master something until you can teach it. And then in teaching it, you master it more. Because now I'm able to pass on that game, and then, right, through teaching it to you, I'm like, oh, yeah, this. Or, you know, different things might come to mind as you're teaching it to someone. So it's like, yeah, absolutely. Pass it down. Anything that you take in, pay it forward. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's free game. And, you know, I definitely think that we have a lot to learn, a long way to go in just society. But I encourage, you know, the viewers or the listeners or whatever, like, people, do y'all research, you know what I mean? Be able to add value to other people's lives, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. If you went through some hardships and, you know, you had to persevere through some adversity to get where you are, be able to pass that game on to the next person so that they don't have to experience that same anguish, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And take pride in that, you know, find fulfillment in helping others, you know what I mean? Rather than thinking selfishly for self. And, you know, I'm a big advocate for, you know, helping pass on information to the next generation. I don't want to, you know, be handcuffed to my own old ideals or thoughts or values that kind of like are outdated now. And, you know, now moving forward, I want to be able to influence the next generation of people to make a change in the world, like anybody else who wants to do something positive. You know, next thing I want to really touch on, because it really, all these things kind of like go hand in hand with each other. It's just like being offended or being mad or feeling some type of way about different things. And one thing that came up on my timeline recently, one thing that came up on the news articles and stuff like that. Damn, I'm wearing a Golden State shirt today. but, you know, I mean, it was something recently of Klay Thompson. You know, Klay Thompson, I'm following the Warriors. I'm following Draymond Green. I'm following Famous Los, who is probably one of the biggest Golden State Warriors super fans and stuff like that. And, you know, even LeBron James, I'm following Kendrick Perkins. You know what I'm saying? This day and age we live in right now, like, everybody is acting like, and I've seen so many different people talk about it, and it's like, oh, my feelings not hurt, or, you know, this doesn't matter, or that doesn't matter. Well, if it didn't matter, then why is the action happening? Why is there an action for it? You know what I mean? Like, every action, in my eyes, has a meaning. Mm-hmm. Whether you want it to have a meaning or not, everything that you do in your life, it holds weight.
Right.
You know, from the smallest decision you make to the grandest decision you make. So all these people out here talking about, oh, that don't matter, that don't mean nothing, or whatever. Like, personally, for me, that matters. So my question is, you know what I mean? Like, if somebody was to unfollow you on social media that you know personally, does that matter?
Mm. Absolutely. I absolutely think it does. I mean, especially, you know what I mean? You took the time out of your day. You took the time to go to my page. You know, unfollow me, remove me, block me, whatever, you know, you took the time to do so. So it meant something to you for me to not be there in that space, you know, viewing you, your social media, whatever. It meant enough to you to take the time out of your day to do so. And even if you didn't do it personally yourself, took the time out of your day to tell, hey, such and such, hey, can you do that for me? Or can you go ahead and make that happen? So, yeah, no, it definitely means something, and it definitely, you know, sparks thoughts. You know, obviously we don't know what it means, but it sparks the thoughts of like, what's going on? Something's happening. You want an impact of some sort.
Happen. And it's the timing of it all. Mm-hmm. Like, what the timing of the LeBron James and following Kendrick Perkins came off of the heels of Kendrick Perkins saying something on TV.
Yep.
It wasn't just like Bro was just like, all right, I'm cleaning out my following, you know what I mean? Like, Perk don't be on nothing on social media, like, let me unfollow. It was like, nah, something directly happened, and then a couple of days later, or a couple hours later, you unfollow him, bro. Mm-hmm. And with Klay Thompson, bro, you're in a contract year. You're in, you know, renegotiations on if you're going to return to a team or not. And then you want to pull the plug and unfollow some of the most, you know, formidable, like, figures in that space or with that team or with that organization, and it's like, bro, you can't tell me that that don't mean nothing. Yeah, exactly. And if you're on the end of receiving it, you can't tell me that, like, bro, it don't make you feel some type of way. Personally, for myself, like, I've been on one side of it to where it's like, yeah, I might have had somebody running my accounts or something like that, running my social, and I'm like, yo, just clear it out. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even know who I'm following. Like, make it happen. You know what I mean? Like. But it was a mass.
I was gonna say that's
it was
a mass thing.
Yeah, it was like I'm trying to clean house. So if like some of my homies got caught in the misfire of this and that, like if they brought it up or if they said it or if they took notes, like, oh dang, hold up, I didn't know I wasn't following bro, or bro got unfollowed, and then let me hit that follow mm-hmm. right back. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But
no,
like if you brought it up and I ain't follow you back, I mean, you gotta think about it, take a look at it, like, absolutely. Hey, what's been going on with me and bro? Have I been a good friend? Mm-hmm. Like, do I be posting on social media? Do I engage with their content, stuff like that? And I'll be honest, I'll be the first to admit, those have been reasons why I unfollowed people in the past. Of as far as like, bro, you don't post anything. Yeah. Like, why am I following you? Like,
wasted follow.
Like, it's not even wasted follow. I don't care. But it's just like, why am I? Just why am I doing that? Why are you on social media then? Like, true. Are you creeping or are you not creeping? And it's like, okay, I'll just be on social media just to scroll. That's some people, that's how they live it. Okay, but you liking and you commenting, you reposting or whatever, bro. Like, but like, you know, that's what I do for a living. You know that I'm really in that space. Like, but you don't share none of my stuff. Mm. You don't comment on none of my stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, like, that just is what it is. Yeah. We don't have a mutually beneficial relationship in social media. Don't mean that we might not have a mutually beneficial relationship off of social media.
Right.
But on social media, that's a public space for me to say, I'm publicly endorsing this person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm publicly, I got ties with this person.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're not publicly talking about I got ties with bro, then I'm not going to publicly talk about I got ties with, you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't need to. It's like being public with your relationship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some things are better left, you know what I mean? Behind closed doors. Yeah. And sometimes that's just how I move. Like, yeah, we might be cool offline, but online, like, we really don't got a relationship, so I don't need to follow you.
I mean, call a spade too. People just want to touch you. People just want access.
All right, here you go. You said it, not me. Go ahead.
People
go
that
ahead
and touch people on just that, because I don't live on that side. Like, no, he follows me, right? Like, they want to pull it up like, no, look, follows me.
Hey, man, I'm sorry. I got to interject on this. Like, I actually had, like, in the last, like, what, like, year or so, I actually had that happen. It might have been in the last 6 months. I had that happen to where it was like a dude was talking to all his friends, trying to flex and boast and stuff like that. Talk about, yeah, I'm tied in with bro and this and that. And went to my page. And they're like, bro, don't even follow you. They're like, bro, don't even follow you. So bro had a whole, he upset because he like, oh, bro, don't follow me. Got me looking stupid. And no, you got yourself looking stupid for one. Because the whole reason why I didn't follow him in the first place was it wasn't all love with me and him. Mm. When I started the social media journey and when I started doing things online and on the internet and stuff like that, he was one of the first people to reach out to me and say, hey, man, what you doing ain't going to work. Mm. He was like, you think you, because there's another guy that came from our city named Corey Wharton. I've done some TV shows with him and stuff like that. That's a homie. So do you think, you know, following somebody on social media actually holds weight or not in y'all relationship? I mean, me personally, I think that certain things mean different things. But when it comes down to it, you know, you have people who just, like you mentioned, want to just touch you. You know, just want to say, I have that affiliation with that person. That person knows me. And, you know, I had a guy who actually went through that and, you know, was boasting with a lot of his friends and stuff like that. Like, oh, I'm tapped in with bro. You know, and then they go to my page and they're like, bro, I don't even follow you on social media. So that threw bro into a whole storm of emotions and stuff like that. Hit the unfollow on me and stuff like that. But the backstory on why I didn't follow him in the first place was he was one of those people when I first got started that was like, what you're doing is not going to work. You know what I mean? Like, there's another guy, you know, that comes from my hometown, Grand Rapids, Michigan, that I know personally. His name is Corey Wharton. And that guy even brought up Corey's name. You know, this is way back in, like, what, 2018? You know what I mean? And he was like, you think you Corey Wharton or something? He the only person from the city that that worked for. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, wow. Like, for example, I'm different. Right. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to be like anybody else. You know, my name is Terai Brooks. You know, a.k.a. Bionic. Like, that's who I am. I know, right. I know who I am. And, you know, like, it was a person that never really supported any of the things that I did, never liked anything, never commented, you know, never shared anything. And, you know, that comment itself stuck with me. Right. You know what I mean? He definitely said it in a way to where he was like talking down on what I was doing, but then tried to flip it to be like, yeah, you know what? You should just come out here and come work for me. I said, damn. Like it was serious. It was real. You know what I mean? And, fast forward to now, you know, I do all these things. I actually, shortly later that year, I go on my first ever television show, and one of my castmates is Corey Wharton. We're original cast for a new TV show that had the biggest, you know, ratings and premiere on, you know, the network since something like Jersey Shore. So, you know what I mean? Like, we had millions of people tune in, you know, just to the premiere of that show. And then things kept going for me, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I know the basketball things, you know, I toured the world, professional sports, influencing, you know, all the different people that I've been able to work with and connect with. And then now that person came back around to try to act like he's tapped in with me and he's been a supporter of me this whole time. But that's why I didn't follow him in the first place.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're talking like that about me to some of my friends back home, and you're acting like what I'm doing isn't of substance or isn't gonna hold weight or I'm not who I am. And a lot of times I've experienced that with people, you know, in this space, in the social media space, and like they see me online or think they know me in the past but don't really even know me. And they think that I'm this way, or they're thinking that I'm not going to achieve my goals and my dreams. And I mean, you know, personally, I'm one of those people that is relentless in the pursuit of things that I want to accomplish. Yes, so it's like, if I have anybody standing in my way or that's doubting me or, you know, talking about this or that, like, I'm definitely not going to publicly or in private, really even, like, align myself with that person.
Yeah, no, 100%. Right, no, it ain't just for show. You're real quick on, like, nah, like, this wasn't just for the camera. Like, nah, I really don't rock with you.
But, yeah, I mean, that goes, you know, a long way. So, you know, to taking that back into the NBA and the NBA offseason, a lot of times we see stuff like that happen with different players, and they're making different moves, or they want to make statements, you know, about, hey, like, we're kind of in a state of flux right now. And, like, that's kind of how I feel and how I took the Klay Thompson situation, as far as, like, I'm in a state of flux with the organization right now. Like,
I'm unsure.
You know, I don't know what's going on. They're not offering me the money that I want. I think people going to throw me a bag this offseason. But regardless, like, this is going to be a storyline for our organization and for myself this season. And, you know what I mean? Like, it's about me. You know what I mean? And so it's like, that's creating more of a storyline for Klay this offseason, and, you know, keeping it ambiguous. And it's also playing to his favor, to where people are like, oh, he might actually leave. Let's throw a bag at him. We might be able to go get him.
The extra shove.
So nothing against Klay doing that. But there's a rhyme or reason why everybody does everything.
Absolutely.
So you can't ever convince me that that's not the case.
Yeah. They try to sweep it under.
Do y'all think Klay Thompson, who he is now, is worth a big bag?
That's a great question. I mean, do we oftentimes do that, though? I'm gonna ask a question to your question. We oftentimes do that, right, with a player, what he's capable of and his potential, because he has done something.
Exactly.
But then, right, lately, he has not been that Klay Thompson. Towards the end of the season, he was not that Klay Thompson. Shooting slumps, all different types of things. But now, right, do we attribute that to the organization and the you know, hardships he was going through and the things that were going on? Or do we just say, hey, this is what happened. Your stock is as good as what we just seen. And so, that's a tough one. I don't know. There's a lot of factors to that. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
I'll be honest. When I look at things, and even when I look at things on a personal level, and I hope y'all get this, like the viewers at home, like, And yeah, we can't always be so reliant on a person and their history, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like people have to continue to be good people and have to continue to show up and perform for you throughout different stages and phases of your life. Mm-hmm. You can't just, you know, wake up one day and be like, oh, they had me 5 years ago. So, right. You know, that bullshit that they on today
right.
don't hold no weight. Like, yeah, I'm going to look past it. No, like people have a duty in your life, you know, to continue to show up in positive ways for you. In the same way for the, you know, the sports world, people have to continue to show up. So I'm more of a guy of like, what have you done for me lately? Mm-hmm. And when it comes to Klay Thompson, yes, his performance has been up and down throughout this season. I don't feel like, you know, he's the same Klay as he once was, but he is Klay Thompson. He's a guy that can shoot it at a high level. We still seen that. He mm-hmm. still can knock down mm-hmm. shots. And he's versatile on defense. He might not move the same laterally to be able to guard like the guards or the quicker guards, the shiftier guards now as he used to. But he's so versatile to where, yeah, he can stand in front of a guard, but he can also get down there and bang with somebody in the post. And that's a surprising thing for him, for me, for him. But at the end of the day, when it comes down to it just comes down to who has the cap space. And like, yeah, you got a guy who comes from a prestigious background, organization and stuff like that, and still can produce in those specific areas at a pretty good level, at a high level, and greater than most. I just feel like he has such a superhuman type of performance early in his career to where people are holding him to this standard. But now he's still, you know, a pretty good NBA player. It's just the team structure is different, you know, the pieces they have around them. Like, Golden State is nowhere near the same. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so it isn't just about Klay Thompson. It's about a lot of the other things that are going on around him, too. So I feel like he does deserve that big bag from a team that needs a player like that. You know what I'm saying? True. You got to play. You got to pay to play. I said that already. You got to pay to play. So, you know, a team like Oklahoma City Thunder, you know, they got like $35 million in cap space. You know what I mean? I heard that they're trying to go pry Isaiah Hartenstein from the New York Knicks, so you can get him on, I feel like, on a budget, and at the same time, you can offer somebody like Klay on their 20 million a year mm-hmm, at that mm-hmm. point. So it's like,
and that's a help.
That's a help. That's and help. But most teams, I don't feel like with the current structure of their team, are able to do that or are willing to take that risk and pay the tax on a guy like that. But if you got the space, oh yeah, he worth it.
Yeah, yeah, I hear that.
I can see OKC.
Yeah.
That's why I say that every time. That's the one that I say every time because it's like. Because
they did the same thing with Gordon
Hayward. No, Gordon Hayward is not the same as Klay Thompson. And I don't think that. He's not Klay. Yeah, but exactly. But that's not the same situation.
Yeah.
Gordon and what he won. How many times did he lead the league in three-point percentage? Yeah. How versatile has he been on defense? Yeah. Like, bro's been versatile.
Yeah, he's a great piece, but...
But he's not Klay Thompson.
Not to go throw a bag at him piece.
Yeah.
That was not to go throw a bag at him piece.
So, that's going to be interesting to see, especially with how the draft plays out, who's going to be the rookie of the year in the NBA, what type of rookie is going to get a good opportunity to shine, what pieces are going to be moving, what teams are going to be restructuring, and stuff like that. I'm interested to also see who's going to be the rookie of the year in the WNBA. Who y'all got? I see Angel Reese is in the running right now. Mm-hmm. People got Kate Martin as a dark horse. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's been good to see that. Her performance, her ability to find some minutes with the Aces. Caitlin Clark is another one, another name that's kind of out there. Are there any other names that y'all kind of like think about or that stick out to you? Personally, when it comes to Kate Martin, I think she's a very deep dark horse just because, you know, Chelsea Gray has been out, so her minutes have been a little bit inflated. Mm-hmm. And then the Aces have been struggling. So mm-hmm. once they find a rotation, once Chelsea comes back, I feel like her minutes are going to go down unless she's playing at a high level. So we're going to have to wait and see what's to be said about that. But I also think that Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese are kind of in the same type of situation. Their teams aren't that good.
No.
You know what I mean? So you can't differentiate one from another as far as, like, winning record. And then at the end of the day, Angel gonna stuff the stat sheet.
Yeah.
She gonna get double double. So her numbers gonna look good. You know what I'm saying? Caitlin got the whole team on her back, and you know, at the same time, she got a great player right next to her with Aaliyah Boston that's going to need to get some good looks, and she's going to need to be able to feed her and figure out that dynamic and stuff like that. And another, you know, number one draft pick, you know, saying playing alongside of that, like, you just got to share the pill a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Andrea ain't really got that, but it's just going to be all about her teammates finding her in a position to be successful.
Yeah, I think Angel is just, she's a will to fight right now. She's a fire. She's a fire for her team, and I think that's propelling her. And I mean, she 12-10, averaging 12-10, and doing her thing, you know what I mean? I don't think she's the most skilled, but I think that she has that passion and that fire, and she's going to, you know, will plays into existence and will things to happen. And then I think Caitlin, similar type of fire, you know, with her as well, especially with everyone doubting her and the headlines and all these things going on.
And not making the Olympic team.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, we never talk about things from her perspective. We never really talk about maybe where her head is and how all this is affecting her and what's going on with her. But I mean, she's showing up on the basketball court every day for a team that, personally for me, don't really look like they show up for her all the time, but that's a different discussion.
I feel that. You touch on it a little bit.
I think the situation behind Caitlin Clark will stop her from getting Rookie of the Year. Because, like, as much as she tries to pull away from it, she can't get away from the media. And, like, that's a distraction.
It is.
It's a true distraction. And I think it's less beneficial to her. I think Angel got the...
She feed off of that. She's been feeding off of that for a while.
And she's in a perfect situation. Like, honestly, they playing through Angel. Whereas, in Caitlin Clark's situation, they're trying to figure out, should we play through Caitlin Clark or should we play through Aaliyah Boston?
And Aaliyah Boston the other night had 27-12.
She did.
She had 27-12.
She haven't figured out how to comfortably mesh. Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, too. Like, as much as I love Caitlin, like, I think she's really good. I just think that her adjustment period, as far as like the quicker players that she's dealing with on the defensive end and stuff like that, and what she has to do on the defensive end, is starting to, you know, catch up and play into everything. You know what I mean? Because like, I feel like the guard play in the W is where it's premier. It's where it's at. Like, the guard play in the W, the post. She got a little bit more of a, she can slide in there and do a little bit more because it's not as many bigs. You know what I'm saying? The guards is tough.
All of the guards,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, every team. You know what I'm saying?
You get those shadows. They come in like, what?
Man, they, like they said, they playing for mortgages. They playing to take care of families. Yeah. Yeah, we talking they, them. We talking they, them. We ain't talking about she, hers, everywhere. They, them is like, no, I identify as something completely different. I'm a dog. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not one of them little girls that you was playing in college. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Like, with all due respect. You know what I'm saying?
That's how I feed my family right here.
For real. Like, that's how I view it. You know what I'm saying? And if those that don't know, I also identify they, them, too. So, you know what I'm saying? They, them, he, him, whatever you prefer. But, yeah, man, like, sheesh. Oh, man.
It's tough. A dark horse, I think, that could sneak up legitimately is Rakia.
Ooh.
On the Sparks.
Yeah.
Because, like, I feel like...
She's a bucket.
And I feel like the Sparks are having they're having trouble figuring out who will be the core.
Mm-hmm. They got an identity crisis right now.
Yeah.
They got an identity crisis with the Sparks right now. And, like, that's what makes it tough for Rakia, like, to find her rhythm, in my opinion, because I feel like so many different things are changing for them.
They try to figure it out.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But, like, Angel going to get a head start. You know what I'm saying? Them numbers is going to look a little different. You know what I'm saying? Rakia is just a tough bucket getter. Mm-hmm. And, you know what I'm saying? That's what leads to a little bit more streakiness. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I just want to see it. I love to see how it plays out. We're still early in the season. We can talk about it again during the Olympic break as we look forward to some good women's basketball and some good hoops. The Olympics is going to be crazy. A lot of this summer has just been crazy, man. We've been working on a lot of different projects. Battlegrounds has been out.
Yes, sir.
In right now. If y'all haven't checked it out already, make sure y'all go check out Bionic Battlegrounds. I got a few episodes up right now. It's been amazing, man. Like, the production quality is A1. The cast is dope. We got a lot of fun stuff going on. It ain't just, like I said, it ain't just hoops. If you like, you know, TV, you like entertainment, you like comedy, you like rivalries, you like competition, this that show for you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we got that on us.
Absolutely. And I see you got a little new piece of hardware.
Hey, new today. This the old joint. You know what I'm saying? I was inspired. By my man's man. This is the championship I won in 2019.
Oh, excuse me.
This is the China championship. This ain't even a Drew joint. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah. So you got multiple.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I got a couple of rings in my collection. You know
picking
what I'm
and choosing. Yeah. Okay.
My man Ty, you know, inspired me to throw that joint on.
Absolutely, man. Hopefully it inspires more greatness, man. A lot of people think I just be wearing it for myself. Really, no. I wear it to inspire somebody. I wear it so other people can see it and say, dang, oh, okay, you right. What's that? You won that? You did that? Like, absolutely, and you can too.
It's funny, though, because, like, I remember, man, I won, I don't know, like seven championships.
Like, you got seven of them?
I got like seven okay. championship rings and stuff like that, man. But, like, it's funny because, like, I didn't wear them. Like, I don't wear them. I don't put them on. Like, you know what I'm saying? I just more so put them up. And it's like, nah, like, we did that.
You did that.
We did that. I know. I should be able to wear all seven of them. Right. You know what I'm saying? I should be able to wear them if I feel like it.
Uh-huh.
I remember, like, it just, like, coming up, it was just like what do they call it? Like, this, I can't find the word exactly I'm looking for. But it was, like, almost like a self-sabotage or it's like a, you know, it was a unknown commonality that people were like where like they just don't wear their
rings. Oh yeah.
Like it's like what do they call that, man? Oh my goodness. I'm drawing a blank right now. But like those nuances, you know what I'm saying, that kinda exist within culture, and that's one of those nuances that exists once you win a championship is like No, don't wear your championship.
Nope, you wear it that day, and you put it away.
Yeah, you put it away. It's like, nah, like, I want to get back to, like, how I see my man. I'm trying to rock my, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to rock my and talk my, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, no, it feels good, man. But, you know, like, it's been an amazing experience to get from, you know, all those things that we've been through, that we persevered through to now and, like, being able to, like, showcase, you know, through hard work and dedication that, you know, there's something on the other side and there's, like, tangible proof to it, you know what I'm saying? But that, I mean, that goes to show, like, anybody out here listening or, you know, the viewers right now, like, if there's anything that you want to achieve, like, we talked on it a little bit in this episode of the podcast. It's all about your mindset, your motivation, how you work through different challenges. You got a lot of different people from the professional sports world, you know, amateur sports world, and, you know, just in life in general, music, entertainment, acting, influencing and stuff like that. Like, we have so many different challenges that we go against every day, but what separates the greats from the regular people is the ones that don't give up.
That's it.
The ones that keep going, no matter if life is quote-unquote lifing, because I know a lot of people say that all the time, life been lifing, and so you stop, you don't do it anymore, your money low, your pocket's low, you hurting, you're going through something mentally, you're going through a family situation, your girl broke up with you, your man broke up with you, you got cheated on, your car got broken into, you got into an accident, you got an injury, like, it's so many different things, and these are all personal things that I've been through, you know what I mean? But the biggest things that separated me from the next creator or me from the next athlete or me from the next entertainer is I'm just going to keep going regardless. So I appreciate y'all tapping in. Talk that talk. You know we go up every week. So make sure y'all continue to tap in, listen, following us on all platforms at talk_T3. I'm your host, Bionic Brooks. You can find me at Bionic Brooks straight through.
Hey, I'm your guy, Coach Ty. You can find me at @ThatFlyGuyTy, @_FlyGuyTy on Instagram.
And that's all we got for you, man. Continue to do your thing, talk your shit, and most importantly, let's be great. If y'all see me on the streets, make sure y'all say what's up. Peace.